www.own-it.org. Own It provides a free intellectual property service for the creative industries. And now with the Own It podcast series, anyone, no matter of location, can gain an insight into IP. The writer, producer, director triangle, a guide to good practice of collaboration in the theatre. This cinema will help you avoid the pitfalls and future disputes by guiding you through certain rules and legal framework for collaboration in the theatre. Speakers are Harry Carolou, lawyer, Annette Mees, director, Emma Taylor, actor, director, producer, Stephen Keyworth, writer for television, and Louise Harris, producer. This event took place at the London College of Fashion on the 24th of the 9th, 2008. This is part two of a two-part podcast.
The play I produced a few years ago when we were all good chums and we all mucked in together. The writer provided a structure, the actors contributed to it. It was all about four kids growing up, so it's fairly fine. The play did really, really well in the Midlands, and he's about to go on a national tour next year. The writer and the director have fallen out ever so slightly, and the director is now, in a sense, trying to assert some copyright and control in that she blocked it. It was quite a physical production. She chose the music that would illustrate the various scenes, and I just wondered if there was any difference in what you're saying from her point of view. If we do this show, how much copyright does the director have on a product that she's created?
Okay, well, it would depend on how much input creatively they've had into the process. Just because they're called a director doesn't give them any automatic rights in the event. So they actually have to have had some creative input. If all that's happened is a writer has written a script and then that's been given to the actors and they've performed it, and the director has had no input other than to, you know, find the actors and find the set and whatever, then the director has no copyright in that event. But if she has had some creative input, then she will have copyright, she or he, whatever, whoever, will have copyright in the event if it's recorded and can assert some control over that. So the solution there would be, particularly if it's going to go national, you know, you need to have some agreement in place there. It may be a bit late in that example if they've already fallen out, because they're never going to agree anything. But it would be to have an agreement in place that, you know, details. I suppose that the main points of contention are, you know, who has editorial control, who can change the thing, and also how profits will be dealt with, which is often the bone of contention.
Hi, I've got three little ones. The first one is I'm a theatre director, freelance theatre director, and applying for a job this Friday. They're looking for my opinion on the script and how I would stage the play and to email that over before interviewing. What is the legal status of that?
Okay, well, firstly, good luck. Two things. Anything you create will be your copyright, first and foremost, so you can assert your copyright in your response to them. Mm-hmm. And you can do that quite simply by using the copyright symbol, your name and the year, and that's sufficient. You don't have to do anything else. That's sufficient for you to have asserted your copyright.
Okay.
Secondly, you may or may not wish to keep your contributions confidential, so you can say to them, please do not use my contributions without my prior consent.
Yep. Second one is that I've come up with an idea that I want to work with a designer and writer to create together, and it's my idea. I brought the team on board. Is there any way I can go, because it's probably fringe, I can go cheaply to put some sort of agreement together?
Well, you may be surprised to hear that some lawyers do actually agree set fees. I'm not suggesting they're cheap, but at least you can agree and have some security in mind that, you know, this is going to cost you, you know, an amount. But otherwise, Own It, where Silver's from, has some very good precedent agreements there on their website.
Okay.
So you can download those and you can adapt them, and they will need adapting because they're not going to fit every single possible purpose.
Yeah.
And then you can use those as a starting point.
Great. And finally, one script I've been working on is about to be published, and I've worked with this writer in a long time. I do have quite a lot of creative input in it, and we'd never thought it'd get to the stage. So what is a director's right in that situation? And there are sort of proof of drafts or email back and forth that I've contributed a lot to this, and we've not talked about what will happen if this could get published. It's quite a surprise. But anyway, what should we be thinking about?
So you've contributed with someone else, and now it's been picked up by a third-party publisher. Okay. I think you prefer the first step is that the contributors need to agree between themselves as to who owns what and how they're going to deal with any proceeds that come from the publisher. And then, secondly, you need to decide what the publisher can and can't do with your copyright work and how you want to deal with that as well. So ideally there, you need two different agreements, one governing your relationship with your co-contributors and one governing the relationship with the publisher.
Can I quickly say something to our contracts? Our contracts are currently undergoing a must-needed review, so they are not on our website at the moment. Sorry. But anyway, if you need urgently, you know, a contract or an agreement, then register on a website and go to advice and then fill in a form, an inquiry, and we might be able to help you and draft a contract, or, you know, work on a contract with you, at least, you know, initially. It's not that we are not a competitor to, you know, to a proper law firm, but that we might be able to give you some legal advice on that.
What constitutes a record? Does it have to be video? Can photographs be involved in that?
If you take a photograph, there will be copyright in that particular image, but no more than that. So if you're taking photographs at an event, just because you've taken a photograph does not mean you have any copyright in the event. It just means you have copyright in the photo. If you record the event, you know, by video, then you can control the whole production because you've got the whole moving event occurring live, as it were, so you can control that, but the photo would only give you the right in the photo itself, and that's owned by the photographer always.
I've got a couple of questions arising out of the originator and collaborator issues that were raised before. I'm a writer, producer, director, and I work across various media, film, TV and theatre. What would be the situation if you write a treatment that clearly sets out synopsis of a story, and then you collaborate with someone to write, say, a screenplay, and then do you have the right to collaborate with somebody else to write an airplay or a play for the theatre? Do you own that story, even though you might be borrowing ideas from the screenplay on which you've collaborated with somebody else? That's one question.
Okay. If I answer that question first, then, while it's fresh in my mind, if you wrote a treatment, then that you would own the copyright in that treatment. If you then collaborated with someone else and you wrote a screenplay, the ownership of that screenplay would be one of two things. You'll either have joint ownership if it's not clear who contributed what in the screenplay, or you will have the two different people owning different parts of the screenplay. So if the other person collaborated to a certain section of the screenplay, then they may own the copyright in that particular section. If you then want to go away and create an airplay, and you want to base it on the screenplay, then you need to get the consent of the co-contributor. But if you want to base it on your treatment, then you would be able to do it yourself without getting the consent.
Okay, so that's a link to that. Let's say you use somebody's lyrics, song lyrics, in a screenplay, and they constitute 10% of the words. Is that a formula for negotiating sort of percentage of rights, or is it really up to the sort of muscle of the authors?
Both, really. I mean, it's as good as any starting point. You know, there's absolutely no reason why, if something is 10% of the whole, you know, if you can negotiate well, you can negotiate. They only receive 1% of the proceeds. There's no set rule that has to apply. But you know, it's as good as any rule to start with.
And lastly, just going back to the issue of writing a story about someone, let's say you didn't use the likeness and you did change the name of the person, but it's obviously that person. Mm-hmm. Does that person still have any rights in that story?
If it's obvious, then I think we're straying now into potentially the realms of defamation here, and it will depend on the content of what you've written. But if it was obvious that what you'd written was quite clearly about someone, a named individual, and they weren't happy with what you'd written about them, they could take action against you, even though the names had been changed.
I'm sorry, I just want to go back to the what I'm still regarding as quite a vague part of what you said. It probably is vague legally, I don't know. It's to do with where you talked about a director and a writer involved in a project, that the director is entitled to some sort of copyright if he has had creative input. I just want to know if there's any definition of what that creative input is. The problem being that if you were a writer and you've written, you've structured something for quite a few years and you've got someone, you've had a director that wants to make a few changes for that particular production, does that sort of bit of, which the writer may or may not have agreed with, does that necessarily constitute a creative input sufficiently to own part of the copyright of it?
Unfortunately, it's going to be my favourite answer again, which is depends. I don't like saying that, but it really does. Basically, it depends on the amount of creative thought that's gone into the changes. If it's sufficient to be considered a new creative work, then yes, there'll be new copyright there. If they have made just minor changes such that the finished article is, you know, so similar that it's not really considered a new piece of work, then there'll be no new copyright there. So that's the test that's applied. But on a creative level, how you apply that is very difficult, and is decided on a case-by-case basis, unfortunately.
Would you recommend anything that takes place during the collaboration that would make this issue a little clearer?
An agreement, which governs the relationship between the writer and the director is essential. But what you can't say in the agreement is, you know, you agree the agreement at the start of the relationship. At the end of it, you may actually decide, well, you know, I don't think the director actually contributed to it particularly much, and yet in my agreement, I've given them 50%, for example. There is a difficulty there. But I think the key thing is to have some form of agreement, at least, which gives you then the option of doing something if you're not happy at the outcome.
Can I just say something about that as well? Yeah. Because I've had this situation from the other perspective, where I've worked with a writer, we've made changes for a particular event, and he wanted to keep the copyright, go elsewhere to do it in another country, basically. And what we agreed between us is that he reverted the piece to the state it was before I gave my input, and then took it from there with his new collaborator, who I basically wasn't that happy with doing my bit. But if he retreated back to that, it's his again. Yeah,
so you need a sort of a witness, really, how it was before and
it was very clear with us. He sent me the script, and that we started work from a starting point.
If we get into kind of the technicalities now, but normally in a collaboration agreement, what you would have is the, and it can be defined in various ways, you know, background intellectual property, old intellectual property, or original, or whatever word you want to use, and then you have modified intellectual property, or new intellectual property, or foreground intellectual property. And basically what you have there is a distinction between the original work as it was before the collaboration started, and then the work as it is at the end of the collaboration. The original copyright will still belong to the person who created that in the first place. The modified copyright will belong to whatever the agreement says.
You mentioned performers' rights. What does that mean?
Okay. Performers' rights are not the same as copyright, and all that means is that if you perform something, you yourself have rights in your particular performance, so people can't copy that. And this is more from a piracy point of view more than anything else. So, for instance, particularly relevant in the music industry. So, if someone sings a song, you know, what you can't do is go along to a concert, for instance, video them singing the song, and then go away and sell that on eBay. That will be infringing, well, it will also be infringing copyright, but it will be infringing their performance rights as well. So it's right in their particular performance. You cannot use that performance without their consent.
I also have three related questions. I'm a designer, and what you've described there often happens with the designer, director, writer. And I'm currently working with a director, writer. We've had ideas, one of which has manifested itself already in the script, so he would own that because it's recorded. But it also has been recorded in my drawing and in a model, and if this goes into production, it will be recorded in the real-life object. which probably will take its cue from mainly from me, because I would have to forward the working drawings, dimensions, text, whatever. Who then owns the copyright in that? Next question would be...
Can I just answer that question before? Okay, I think we're moving again to the realm, the boundaries of copyright, and also into design rights now. If your artistic work will be your copyright because you created it, and it'll be just the same as a literary copyright for someone who wrote the script in the first place. If you're then creating 3D models based on this, then that's going to be a design right there, and who will own that will depend on one who's created that model. It could also be a copyright. There is a certain amount of overlap between copyright and design right, but you'd need to. It's either going to be the person who created it, or if you're going to ask a third party to create it for you, a manufacturer, then you need to agree between yourselves who will own the copyright and the design right in that.
Next question. What happens, again, I've designed a costume or piece of set that has a direct impact because it limits movements or it gives you extra movement you don't have. Where's the boundaries there between what I've designed and what the choreographer or the director is now able to block in space because of what that's given him or taken away?
Okay. The designs will be your copyright again. And this is assuming that there's no other agreements now that govern, that change the position. But the designs will be your copyright. And if you then create the actual costumes based on that, then there can be design rights in that. But just because your designs have an impact on the actual event itself, that doesn't give you any automatic rights in the event itself. You only have rights in what you've created, which will be the designs and the costumes if they're created based on that.
And last question. There's now a transfer. You were talking about a transfer or taking a script and then putting it into film. If there isn't a totally new design team taken on board, how can I still maintain control? Because maybe I'm very happy for the transfer, but the space is different, the whole experience with the audience is different. It's important for me that my work is seen in a way that I would want it to be seen. Do I still have control? Can someone just... How does that work?
It will be entirely dependent on what agreement you have with the production design company there. Basically, you can go down different routes, but and I suppose at the end of it, it depends on how much you yourself value your creation. But what you can do is say, for instance, I will allow you to use my designs for a fee, but I still want to retain some element of control. Or you can say, you can do absolutely what you want with these, I don't care, but you're going to pay me a lot more for that privilege. So you can build in some kind of, into the negotiation, you can do that. And that's why I go back to, it depends how much you value your own work. But if you're allowing someone to use something, then there is, if that's written or not, there's an implied license there automatically. And then they will be free to use that. And if you want to retain some form of control over that, then you need to have that agreed.
Just based on what you've just said, would I always have to have that in writing, or is there a certain general law that will always retain? Will I always retain the copyright in the products of my design, or does that have to be in writing every single time?
Yeah. If you've created something and all someone else is doing is using your creations and they're not changing them, there is no transfer of ownership of your copyright. All that's happening is that someone is allowed to use your copyright. If, however, they're changing, modifying, adapting your copyright work, then there can be new copyright in that. And then you then go into the whole debate as to who owns the new version. Is there joint authorship, or do they just own the bits they've adapted?
But do I have to have that in writing, or is anything I create...
No, you don't have to have that in writing. There can be no transfer of copyright unless it's in writing. So if you haven't agreed anything in writing, there will be no transfer of ownership.
Hello, I'm Director Andrew Weiter. Most of us don't have any legal training, you see, so you've made much free about you must have an agreement here, and moral rights must be exercised there. But whom, where, with what, whom, and at what time? Because most of the difficulties arise when you look back afterwards and say, oh, I should have done that.
Yeah.
At what time do you are you prescient and put these things in place, and how much legal advice should one take? You're going to say a great deal, I'm sure.
Depends who you ask. In terms of timing, the earlier the better, really. If you can get the legal advice in at the inception of the project, whatever that may be, then you can set the groundwork there, and then you know that will cover everything going forward.
I wondered if I could ask two very brief questions. One was just going over the idea of treatments and concepts. For instance, if you send, I mean, often all of us do this, we will send a treatment or a brief to a production company or what have you. Are these definitely protected by copyright? By that I mean, if you put your name, it's in a written form, if you've got your name on it and you put copyright 2008 with your name, then that idea definitely belongs to you without a shadow of doubt.
Okay, let me just clarify that. Just because you put that doesn't give you copyright. You have to have created it in the first place.
Fine, okay.
So, for instance, I can put my copyright 2008, my name, on the newspaper, but I don't
own
the newspaper.
But say it comes from you. Let's presume
exactly.
It comes
from you.
So if you've
created something, you don't have to put that, but the reason you put that there is to show that you own the copyright and to put other people on notice.
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of that. It's so that people who see that and say, okay, well, this is the copyright of Joe Bloggs, therefore we cannot use this, copy it, reproduce it without their consent.
Right, so that's clear in that sense. Yeah. If it's originated from you, you've written it, all those creative ideas.
There's no registration required.
They can't go away and just do something, just take the brief or take the treatment.
Well, they can, but
you'd have to do something about it.
That's an infringement of your copyright.
Yeah, so you have some legal rights in that situation. The other thing I just wanted to clarify was in terms of crew, I know we've talked mainly about theatre, but for instance, in film making, I just wanted to get a bit clear in my head where copyright lies in that sense. I mean, the director / producer would have the main copyright of a filmed piece of work, let's say. But what about the camera operator, for instance, or the sound recordist, or, you know, the list goes on?
They would not have any copyright because all they have done is that the actual, you know, they haven't had any creative input.
Yeah.
And perhaps I'm doing a disservice now. People may think they are creative in what they're doing. But as far as the law is concerned, they haven't created the work. So they have not any copyright in it.
Including that moral rights?
Including that moral right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And normally you'd have that governed by, you know, their terms of, you know, their whether it's an employment or commission basis, however the crew have been recruited, you'd normally try and cover that off in any agreement you have with them.
Yeah. And just one final one, if I may. Sorry to be greedy. But I just wanted to ask in relation to music videos, because that's a bit of a grey area. They are collaborative, and you know, you'll have a band who will produce a piece of music, obviously, and they want to have a video done for that. So you've got two different artistic arenas coming together.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of guidance that is provided in terms of how those work, or is it that the images essentially belong to the director, producer, and the music to
there'll be an overlap. There's another example where there's an overlap of rights. The music will be owned by whoever composed, created the music in the first place. But then the director who's created the video will own the copyright in the whole, you know, the way the music interplays with the video as well. So there's an overlap there. So the music is actually, you know, there is more than one person who has some ownership in that. But again, you'd want to have an agreement between the owner of the musical copyright and the director of the video, so as to make clear that going forward, they cannot use just the music in any other way without your consent.
I'm interested in a situation where there are several contributors to a written work. How common is it for there to be joint copyrights, particularly if there are quite a few contributors, like, you know, half a dozen perhaps? Who has the rights to exploit the work? And what if some of the contributors, but not all, want to build upon and develop the work, but others don't? Yeah. Then what can happen?
Okay.
You know, can you suggest a possible way forward?
Okay, so when we're talking about joint authorship here, it's the case that, and this isn't a decision you can make. There is either joint authorship or each person owns their contribution. Okay, and the deciding factor there is whether they're distinguishable, the contributions. Okay, unless you have an agreement in place. Okay, if you have an agreement in place, you're changing the statutory position. You can agree what you want. But if there's no agreement in place, then it's one or the other. Okay, it's very common for there to be joint authors. And there are specific rules which set out who can do what where there is joint authorship. Okay, so there's certain, yeah. Basically, when you have copyright in something, it means you have the exclusive right to do certain things. And where you have joint authorship, each of those authors can do those certain things without necessarily obtaining the consent of the others. But in some circumstances, they do need to obtain the consent. So, for instance, if you want to transfer ownership, only the collective can agree to that. One person cannot agree to transfer ownership of the joint authorship of something. So I think I've answered most of your questions there. In terms of, you know, how you deal with that, again, you know, sorry to bang on about this, but the agreement is the key thing there. Mm-hmm. And the agreement will set out who can do what, how, what the process is for deciding whether something's going to happen or not. Now, you can build as much detail into this as you want, but I'm not suggesting, obviously, you get carried away, because, you know, you want to keep it quite flexible at the same time as well. But you need to have an agreement in place which sets out who can do what and how.
So you'd have the agreement before you actually started?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's the end of part 2 of the Sewnit podcast. Thanks for listening.